Welcome to another.
Hey, Potter people. Hey, Potter people. We're always talking. You're always listening. We're always talking. We're Pottercasting. Hey, Potter people. Hey, Potter people. We talk about the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
We talk about the Harry Potter stuff. We talk about the Harry Potter. Hey, Potter people, hey, Potter people, we're always talking, you're always listening. Hey, Potter people, hey, Potter people, we're always talking, we're Pottercasting.
What? Today's podcast is brought to you by Borders. In May, thousands of Harry Potter fans descended upon New Orleans for the Phoenix Rising Conference. Borders and your friendly Pottercast hosts were there to take in the sights and share a lively discussion of the series that bewitched the world. Listen in and watch the action yourself. Check out the Phoenix Rising Borders Book Club discussion at bordersmedia.com/Harry Potter or click the Borders banner at the top of the Pottercast page.
Hi, guys. Thank you for coming out. Even if I lived here, I would be sitting right in front of an air conditioner today. Oh, my. Okay, before we do anything, John, what?
What? I got my little armadillo friend here.
It's not scabbers, is it, though?
No, it's the Arizona equivalent of the scabbers. His name is Fred, and he's going to be hanging out tonight, today, during the show.
Oh, God.
Giving his opinions every so often, as it were.
Well, welcome. We are having a great time. This is the second border stop on our tour. It's our third show of our summer tour. It's our first ever summer tour. It might be the first ever podcast tour.
Mm-hmm.
We're not quite sure. But we've been going around the country, or will be going around the country, talking all about the big stuff coming in Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
How many days? Who knows? 29. Less than a month. And a half.
No.
And 9 3/4.
9 3/4.
I don't know.
29 3/4.
Exactly.
Well, in every city that we go in, we have been trying to figure out which city knows the most about Harry Potter. And the way we do this is we have a 5-question predictions exam. And we're going to record all your predictions. And on July 22nd, one city's going to look really stupid.
One's going to look brilliant.
Brilliant. And one city is going to look pretty dumb. And we will laugh and point. No.
And those guys at Tucson were talking pretty bad trash about you guys up here. So
yeah.
You guys have...
Totally.
You guys have some proving to do here.
So first of all, who thinks that Phoenix will win this competition?
Oh, God, guys, come on!
We must. I think we can do it. Sure, why not? You know? As good a chance as anybody.
You can do it.
What do you think, Fred?
That's a pretty good chance of that, I'd say.
So... Okay, well, Fred believes in you guys, so what do you think? Our first question is the biggest question of the series. Will Harry walk out of this book alive? If you think he will, clap. And if you think he will kick the bucket...
Then leap.
At number 7. No. Make some noise for Harry kicking the bucket.
I would like to point out that he's wearing a Hufflepuff shirt and has a Hufflepuff banner.
I love those kind of Hufflepuffs.
And thinks Harry will die. It's a sad day for Sue. Sad day for Sue.
Yes, I'm holding out for a bunch of
I'm
Death
sorry.
Eater
Hufflepuffs. I'm not wearing glasses.
I cannot wait to read about the Death Eater Hufflepuffs in Deathly Hallows. There's
going to
be so many of them. It's going to be like a surprise force that come out of nowhere. With all of their enslaved house elves behind them.
Please. It's too early in the show to start with the enslaved house elves. This is every day. You think that...
You leave Fred out of this.
See? Get him, Fred.
You think this is just during the show. This is all day in the car. This is at night. Before we go to bed, they scream at each other, "She enslaved the Hufflepuff." No, she didn't! You know? So. Okay, what's our second question?
Our second big question is about Mr. Snape. Mr. Snape, look around the store. Lots of people saying he's a foe. Lots of saying people thinking, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. And saying he's a bad guy. But everybody can make some noise. Their sticker of choice would be to trust Snape.
Yes.
And make some noise if you believe that Snape will betray and is a very bad man. Okay. Very smart border store we have here.
Seriously.
Pretty darn good.
You guys
good.
Got Tucson owned already. Not really. I think they have the same ideas. But those are our two easy ones. Come on.
Okay. Well, what's the hard one, Sue?
Okay. Well, this is actually a pretty interesting one. Is Harry a Horcrux? If you think that he is.
Here. Make some noise. Oh, no noise for Sue.
Oh.
I like it.
Was she speaking Hufflepuff there?
What is the Hufflepuff language, Sue? Nothing. Wait, I missed that joke completely.
No.
That was a lame joke, John.
Was that lame?
No, she's mad.
All
okay,
right.
Okay.
If you do not think that Harry is a Horcrux, make some noise.
It's a brilliant border store we have here.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant border store.
I don't think Harry's a Horcrux.
No. That'd be ridiculous.
It's just silly. Anyway, I like you guys. The heat certainly has done you well. Yeah. So, number four is one that I will remember in a moment. No, that's five. Get it right, Sue. No. Okay, who here thinks, if you think that Harry will attend school at Hogwarts, make noise.
Will Harry return to Hogwarts for his final year of school?
Or will Harry not attend school in this book?
Harry will be a dropout. Yay!
Magic school dropout.
School.
Have the girls in curlers coming down with wands in their hair.
Oh.
You know.
Is Snape going to sing the song?
Snape. Oh, my God.
Going to come down.
Silver Lemme.
Yeah.
Only if Alan Rickman does it.
Wouldn't that be great? He'd be awesome at it, too.
Yeah.
Number five.
Sorry, guys. The heat, man. It's
one
like
of the more important questions.
Sadly.
Will Neville Longbottom and Grubbly Plank find love?
Taking your armadillo.
You give Fraddle back to me.
Our fifth question is whether you think that we will see the other side of the veil. Will we go behind the veil? So if you think so, make noise.
Behind the veil.
And if you don't?
It's pretty split there.
Yeah, well, no, you think that they're going to go. I think that's how we will. You really think we're going to go behind the veil?
Yeah.
Is that what's on the cover of the book?
No.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
It's an old Quidditch stadium in the front of the book. One of the oldest, the original one. What was that called? The marsh, what was it?
The Coliseum or the Greek?
No, the original Quidditch pitch.
Quidditch marsh.
Yeah, that's right. That's what
Wow.
That's
I didn't know I knew that.
So you think Voldemort, what does he play? What is Voldemort?
Voldemort's a beater, obviously. He likes to inflict pain. Naturally, come on.
All right, well.
Hard to recover.
All right, that was our five questions, Gabe.
Five questions. I don't know, guys. You guys might have been.
We'll mark your answers down.
Did you have the same question? I'm trying to think if you had the same answers as Tucson.
I think almost everyone has the same answers so far.
No, everybody's had at least one different.
Really?
At least one's been different in every city.
Well, you didn't let them answer the Grubbly Plank question.
But the one.
Gee, I'm sorry.
I think they had the most that Harry was not going to be a Horcrux. I mean, there was like.
Yeah.
No one said anything here.
They're very definitive here.
I'm sorry. No one said anything about the Horcrux in here. So
nobody here thinks that was really quiet.
It really was.
You guys are like the quietest city so far.
For that question, certainly, because I don't think anyone in their right mind thinks Harry's a Horcrux.
All right. Well, and also in every city we go to, we're going to be doing our canon conundrums. Who here knows what a canon conundrum is? Yeah, rock. Okay, canon conundrums are what we've been doing for the past year almost on Pottercast, where we take one of the remaining problems, one of the remaining questions, something that's still a mystery, and we're set to find out in book 7, or we want to find out in book 7, and try and figure it out. And we had this beautiful little plan to get all your recommendations in and pick one out, and we didn't do that today.
Oh, sure
so,
we did.
Sure we did. Who has an idea about what you would like? What's a conundrum that you really want discussed right now?
Is the dragon animagus form of Aberforth?
See, we keep hearing that the dragon was the animagus of Draco. And we're just thinking of course, the trio's riding Draco into the sunset. You know?
Sounds like a fanfic.
Yeah.
I don't know, because Aberforth, we have the association with the goats. which is a goat association, also exists with this particular form of dragon, as it eats the sheep and the goats. So if Haverporth is running around in dragon form and eating goats, that would might explain his stench a little bit. But do we know if anyone can even have that magical of an animagus? Do we know?
All the animaguses so far have been regular creatures.
Yeah, I think
Jill
spoke about
beetle.
That once.
No, I don't think she did.
About like how like you can't be a
phoenix
or something.
No, she never said that.
No?
She never said that.
I could have sworn.
Ever. But we've discussed
might
it before.
Might have been our IM chat.
Yeah. No, we love our 42.
Yeah.
No. But all the animaguses we've seen, animagi, animagi, animagus, they're hard to... Anyway, all of them have been regular animals, so it does seem that you're not going to morph into a dragon.
That'd be cool.
So the dragon has a beard, which is interesting.
He is a bearded dragon, which would make him look a little bit like one of the Chinese fireballs.
Oh.
Perhaps we have a little hybrid dragon action going
on. Somebody brought this theory to us in Chicago.
Yep. Yeah.
They said that if you look in the Fantastic Beasts on the Antipodean opal eye description, and why we say Antipodean, I will get this right, Antipodean opal eye, the dragon on that cover, and we're, by the way, if you don't know, we're talking about the released artwork for the deluxe edition of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
Has the trio riding a big dragon off into the sunset, which is so badass. The dragon has no pupils, and the only dragon to not have a pupil is the Antipodean opal eye. So everybody thinks it's an Antipodean opal eye, but at first we saw a dragon and we said, Norbert! And it's probably not. But the dragon also doesn't have the pearly iridescent scales that dragon usually has, and has a beard, has a bit of a look of a Chinese fireball. And if you look in that entry in Fantastic Beasts at the bottom, it says, well, in very rare instances, hybrid dragons can occur with, you know, very, very rare. And then the next entry in Fantastic Beasts is the Chinese fireball. So
yeah.
It could very well be one of these rare, huge, magical...
And who do we know that could get a hold of a rare dragon like that?
Agreed. Mr. Hagrid.
Hagrid? No. Charlie.
Hagrid when Voldemort shows up wearing a hood in the Hogshead.
The what now?
What?
Who? What?
Charlie. Do you think they're in Romania?
I don't know if they're in Romania necessarily, but maybe the dragon could have used like a port key to get wherever they needed the dragon to put his little paw up there on a boot.
Or he could have flown.
But that would take a long time. I'm thinking, that there's somewhere that, for whatever reason, it's dangerous to be flying on things like brooms or smaller things, and they need a dragon to be there to protect them.
Or the rewards, and, you know, or this is how they got out of some huge battle. You know, you don't have to be... He could have just taken them away.
What if they were, like, stuck in this cave... Or like, you know, with a really high ceiling or something, and it's like a chamber, and they're stuck, and they need to grab onto like a magical creature to lift them out of it and take them back somewhere safe.
Can somebody grab a copy of Chamber of Secrets for John?
Yeah.
Who else thinks that there might be some sort of underground or somewhere room of Godric Gryffindor's in Hogwarts? Some sort of secret similar to what Salazar Slytherin left.
Yeah, if the founders all had chambers, like Salazar's chamber, the Chamber of Secrets...
Not all chambers, but, you know.
...decided yesterday that Talga Hufflepuff had a little play place with balls like McDonald's to hang out in for her reprieve of the day. But Godric could have his own little space and could have a dragon hidden in there, just like the basilisk hanging out in Chamber of Secrets. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand what these big monsters down there do all day. Especially because we only really heard about... The basilisk running around in Chamber of Secrets making noise and all this stuff. But what about all the previous years? You know?
Running around making noise.
What about all the previous years?
Well, I always wonder who fed him. I know there's a lot of rats and animals, whatever, but that's a large animal to exist on the random occasional rat down there. You know, can he get out of the school? Does he go around Scotland and hiss and...
Maybe he can travel to, like, the lake and go to...
Hang out with Loch Ness.
Sure. You know, the squid and they can have poker night. That'll be fun. I don't know. What do you think, Fred? Let's move on to something else. All right. Good idea, Fred. Good idea. What else can we talk about?
Wait, did you have something to say? Or?
I have an idea to talk about.
Ooh.
I'm thinking about this a lot lately. Is how is Harry going to destroy the Horcrux? And I don't know if you guys have talked about it.
Have we never?
I don't know.
Okay, just to repeat it for the sake of the recording, this lady wants to us to talk about how Harry's going to destroy the Horcruxes. So basically, she wants us to explain the seventh book.
It's a cool way she said it, though, is that you have to kill
sure.
a Horcrux.
No.
There's something living inside of it. Could he, you know, AKA the Horcrux? That's how he gets to destroy it.
Well, the other part of her comment was that with the basilisk fang, with the book, he drove it right through it, did it have to be a basilisk fang? I would argue that a basilisk fang was just very poisonous, and you're right, it was like killing it. It was putting poison into a soul. So do you have to murder a Horcrux?
Mm.
How do you kill a soul or a piece of a soul?
Sue knows the answer to this.
No, I just think it's interesting because, like, say each of the, like, say they are the, belonging or pieces of things that belong to the four founders. And so, if it's Hufflepuff's cup or an item like that, would you melt it? I mean, you know, maybe that's why the dragon's down by fire. You need the breath of the, you know, something that's fire like that. Because I'm sure Voldemort has some sort of obstacle, like he did with in the cave with that ridiculous potion thing of his. You know?
But sometimes the most dangerous part about a Horcrux is not the Horcrux itself, it's the enchantments around
it. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the diary was definitely the Horcrux itself. That little piece of riddle, inspecting Ginny, that's really sort of gross. You know? This little 12-year-old has the most evil wizard ever in her, and she survives. And she's, you know, and she's fine. She rocks.
The other Horcrux that we've talked about recently was the ring. From Gaunt and all those people.
Tom Riddle's ancestors had that ring with the Peverell crest on it.
Yeah.
And it was a black stone. Well, since you're not going to explain it.
Why do you think I brought it up if I wasn't going to explain
about it? You're not going to explain what it was. It's a black stone and Dumbledore.
Gorgeous ring. It almost killed Dumbledore. And we don't really know why, but I was thinking, is it because of an enchantment on it? Just because it was a Horcrux? Or is it because that ring might have been enchanted to only allow a direct descendant of Slytherin to put it on, which it doesn't really sound like that really matters, but if we're talking about, you know, how hard will all these Horcruxes be to destroy if there's lots of complicated magic on every one of them, or if some of them are different because of their inherent qualities, like that ring could have had, it might, you know, lead us to believe Harry is more capable than we would think he would be to get rid of these things. But I guess that's all about the ring.
Well, when I say okay, who thinks that it's because he had to be a descendant of Slytherin? That was a, you know, that ring is never specifically said to be a Slytherin ring.
I thought it was.
No, the Slytherin ancestor wore it, and he claims that it's a great sacred object, but it's never claimed. And there is some history with Peverell. There's some research that certain people have done, not us, on it. Which, anybody knows it? Because I don't remember to save my life. But, so, I just think that it was how Dumbledore destroyed the Horcrux. I mean, he had to get the Horcrux out of this little ring. Look what it did. It almost killed Harry with the diary. I just don't agree with you. Surprise.
Well, you know, wonderful. But, it just goes back to the argument of why didn't Dumbledore tell Harry what he did to this ring? I mean, I'm a very anti-Dumbledore lately because I think that he left Harry woefully unprepared for all this whole ordeal. And for him to almost be killed by trying to destroy a Horcrux and then be like, okay, Harry, I want you to destroy all the Horcruxes, and then not even bother to tell him what he did that almost got him killed, it's like this information has to exist somewhere. If we're going to see it in a pensive maybe in seven or what, but otherwise it's like...
He kept saying it was a story for another time. And if Dumbledore, like, knew that this was his end or felt like this, you know, it was his end at the end of the book six, do you think he really left that hanging out there, or do you think he left it somewhere for Harry to find? Because he's got to find out how he was... In terms of a pure writing perspective, you don't say, oh, that's a fantastic story, and I'll tell you later, and never address it again.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you later, Harry, but I got to die first. Like,
You think there's any reason for that? Like, it's because he didn't think Harry was prepared to understand the story? Like, he had to learn more about Riddle first, and then he would understand?
He seems really insistent about it. In the chapter where they first go back to the place with Merope, the Tom Riddle's family, and he goes back and he meets them, when Harry insists about it, he stops him again and says, "No, I will tell you that later. It's time mm-hmm. for you to leave," you know?
Very bossy.
Yeah, that Dumbledore man thinks he runs a school or something.
Mean. But I was just thinking about that, and I kind of like the idea that he didn't think Harry was ready to understand what has to be done to destroy the Horcrux.
But Harry already destroyed a Horcrux.
Well, you know, maybe that particular one, and maybe he didn't even know what he was doing. Maybe he was murdering the book and didn't even realize it. But
well, we know he didn't realize it.
If it is necessary to murder a Horcrux, and the way that Dumbledore went about it was something more, you know, more obvious of like a killing procedure or whatever, then you know, maybe he didn't think Harry would be interested or want to do this until he understood more about what was going on.
I'm sorry.
Harry needed to have the impetus that Dumbledore's death, the reason Joe had it that way, is that Harry needs to develop as a character to understand that the power of being able to destroy, and I think that's why that story is going to involve. I mean, Harry needs to have that grief of Dumbledore's death in him to understand.
Well, but Dumbledore, when he's asked about that story, right, he's like, "Oh, that's a wonderful story, and I'll tell you another story." Like, almost sort of gleeful about it. If it's like, "Hey, I get to tell you the story about how you have to murder something." Yes! You know, he didn't see, it's not...
Dumbledore is very tricky like that.
It's just pure storytelling. It's probably going just be necessary for the seventh book, and therefore Dumbledore had to not tell it yet. You know?
Mm.
But I think it's time that we do a little game that we've been playing on the road, and then we'll get to all of your raised hands, we promise. We've been playing a little dueling game that was John's, not invention, but it was John's idea that we started doing it in New Orleans, and it's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. John's going to explain the rules.
Me and Fred are going to explain the rules.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'm going to call two of you up here, and we're going to pick a category, and you have to name as many things of that category from the books as you can. It can be a category of, you know, teachers at Hogwarts. It could be spells. It could be potions if we're really mean to you. And
the armadillo.
A really hard category. Yes.
John's all bitter because he had to do potions yesterday. He got one.
I got two
potions. No, you got one potion, and the person opposite him, which was Lisa from the Lexicon, said the same potion.
I had two. I had Felix Felicis and I had Drought of the Living Dead or something. Yes, I did. Check the recording, everybody. You'll see Melissa didn't remember.
Because you said Felix Felicis and then she goes, Felix Felicis, and then it was over. You said Drought of the Living Dead or somebody else.
She said a potion before Felix Felicis.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, they got the same thing, so he's bitter. So.
No. I won. I'm not bitter. I won the darn thing. Anyway, let's pick two of you up here and play the game. Who wants to play? Come on right up and come on right up.
What does your shirt say?
Potter Cast closes dollars with the dollars, so lose your dollars, Muggle.
That's awesome.
Dollish,
just don't. You don't
want to
know about dollars.
It's an awesome shirt. Well, let's hear your names. I guess you're probably from around here, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm Catherine. I'm from Glendale.
I'm Alan. I'm from Maricopa.
Cool.
Right? Maricopa?
This is where we are. Awesome. Okay, the category for you guys is magical creatures, not including non-magical pets. I don't want to hear rats and owl and this nonsense. Magical creatures from the book.
Hippogriff.
Mm-hmm.
Crap.
Dragon.
Dementor.
You think he's too good at it.
No cheating. We hear you.
I don't know.
Oh. Do you have one?
Unicorn.
The unicorn.
I'm ready.
There we go.
I'm totally ready.
Good work, both of you guys. A round of applause for the effort. Okay, cool. We're going to pick up two more. Are you here? You're here in the blue, and another podcast shirt over here, too.
Loving the podcast shirts. Here you go. You were at Tucson. Hold on.
She studied yesterday.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Jordan Maricopa.
I'm Megan, and I'm from Glendale.
Glendale, Maricopa again. It's like the battle of the county.
Oh my, oh my. Okay. This category will be chosen by the lovely Sue.
Oh. Classes at Hogwarts.
I was just going to think that. Classes at Hogwarts.
Yes.
Yeah, we did a lot of them yesterday.
But she was there yesterday.
Well, we only went through about 3 rounds yesterday.
Okay.
Arithmetic, potions, care of magical creatures,
defense against the dark arts,
transfiguration.
Do you have one?
Charmed.
Fred has spoken.
Fred has spoken. Thank you. All right, we got the great one coming.
Uh-oh.
The good one.
I love the great one.
Yeah, you know the one.
The big one?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's...
Okay. Who's good at this? Who thinks they're good at this? Ravenclaw Thai lady.
The Ravenclaw's up.
We met her in Disneyland.
Disneyland.
We gotta have someone similar age. I would love to pick like a 6-year-old, but it gets really sad if the young ones. It's really, you know, you just want to cry.
We have a raised hand there on the green.
Green. Are you guys friends and you're gonna battle now?
Oh gosh.
That's great. Well, she's wearing a Potter shirt, so she's clearly gonna win. Hang on. Here you go.
I'm from Phoenix.
And what's your name?
Danny.
Danny.
Danny. Stephanie from Phoenix.
And Stephanie from Phoenix. Into the mic. Good work. Okay. Well, the big category is spells. Spells and curses, and a little further from the speaker, if you could, thanks. And who gets to go first? Slytherin Green goes first.
Avada Kedavra.
Expecto Patronum.
Lumen.
Crucio.
Imperius.
Make sure you're going right into the mic here.
Accio.
Expelliarmus.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Do you have to name the spell?
Yeah.
Oh.
You got one? Lumos. Because if the other one doesn't know, then the other person doesn't look so bad. Yay, prompter rules.
Thank you, guys.
Good work. Thank
our winner
can
go.
Good effort, good effort.
Okay, here comes our favorite part of the show. This is when, if you have something that you want discussed, an idea, a theory, a butterbeer recipe, anything you want to talk about, you just raise your hand and it's up to you. So, oh God, back right back in the back.
I just want to know what's going to happen in Godric's Hollow. Any ideas?
They're going to have a party.
Fred'll make cookies. We shall most likely return to Godric's Hollow, I would think. Just to check it out.
There.
So we gotta think that the places we found the one Horcrux at the end of 6 was somewhere that was very significant in Riddle's life. So we think we were going to be visiting other locations that have significance to these people in Godric's Hollow, the place of the guy's downfall, you know, originally.
Well, Harry said he's going there, so we've got, he's got to, unless he comes up with some reason that that not.
Yeah, but we'll have those 24 hours explained, I think. I mean, he'll have to explain a lot what happened, who was there when the attack took place. I mean, how did Dumbledore find out? That's the big question to me.
Does everybody know about the 24 hours? There's a missing, if you read very carefully the first chapter of the first book, there's a missing 24 hours.
Yes.
Apparently, I mean, between the time when Voldemort tried to kill Harry's parents and the time when Dumbledore appears on the Privet Drive, there's 24 hours missing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's celebrating all day. You hear about everything that's been going on. In that time, we think that, you know, Sirius might have been, arrested and all that stuff. But nobody knows where Harry was. Certainly didn't take Hagrid that long to fly to Bristol, from Bristol, you know?
Yeah, the stop
so what
somewhere
happened?
On the way.
Hmm?
Maybe he had to stop somewhere
well,
on the way.
You know, that's like the question.
Take a rest. Holiday Inn Express for...
Super 8. Don't go to Super 8. $119
for a smoking
yeah.
suite. No, the night.
So that, I mean, so yeah, Godric's Hollow. But the more we talk about Godric's Hollow, the more we realize how many people had to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're thinking about who had to tell Dumbledore what happened if Dumbledore himself wasn't there, and we don't think Dumbledore was there. Who had to get Voldemort's wand? Now we think Snape might have been there because there's a whole big theory that, you know...
Didn't they Accio his wand? From anywhere? The Accio had a firebolt.
Yeah, but if they didn't get the wand, wouldn't, like, a ministry official grab that wand when they were cleaning up the scene?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Somebody...
Lucious. He's like, Accio Voldemort's wand.
Somebody got the wand, okay? So it might have been Pettigrew. Pettigrew, I mean, it just the more and more you think about it, it was like a party in Godric's Hollow that night. Everybody's circling around the house, not being able to see the Potters.
Yeah.
You know, but seeing that there's a big battle going on there, so we have to get all that straightened out.
Definitely.
Okay, next.
For serious.
Anyone else?
Yellow! All the way
Yellow
to the
lady. Back. We know her.
Hey.
This is Allison. She's very nice. We like Pottercast junkies. We see the addiction.
I have a theory about this way. Yeah. About what she had asked about Harry, how Harry is going to defeat the Horcrux.
Sure.
And I know that you probably won't like this, but I think that Harry is a Horcrux.
No.
Wait.
I said you were nice.
I know. But wait. In book two, he has not yet shared Mr. Blood or the flesh. Since Voldemort has not yet become solid,
mm-hmm.
when he becomes solid in four, he is sharing a lot of things that Harry has.
Sure.
So when the Horcrux, it's like reuniting the servant and the master. The
mm-hmm.
Horcrux...
Who's the servant and the master here?
The Horcrux can't tell the difference between Harry and Voldemort because Harry's the Horcrux, and that's why the gleam of triumph is in Dumbledore's eye, because Dumbledore's like, yes, he's got his blood, because now he can defeat the Horcrux by just saying, it's gone. Right.
You lost me, Allison.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Okay. If Harry and Voldemort share blood,
sure.
Right?
Oh, you want to start this on with me again?
Okay. I know. Okay. So I think that the reason Harry can get it is because Harry and Voldemort have enough properties that the Horcrux, the other Horcruxes, can't tell the difference between Harry and the new Voldemort.
What is the purpose of telling the difference?
Because if Voldemort puts a spell on it, and the Horcrux knows that he's the person who cast the spell.
The Horcrux has like a consciousness?
Well, it's a piece of soul, because...
Yeah. Well, like a thought process, though? The Horcrux does?
No, it doesn't, because yes, it was Tom Riddle in the book, but there were other spells to make that book.
It was the other way around.
You know.
Harry's got Voldemort's blood, maybe. But the Horcrux... Voldemort.
See, I'm with the Mr. Blood thing that Voldemort didn't have any blood until he took Harry's to
mm-hmm.
resurrect from the cauldron. So
but
that
Harry doesn't have Voldemort's blood.
But he has Voldemort's soul.
The soul, it comes with nobody has Voldemort's blood. There's no
Voldemort's blood is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Totally tapped.
Okay, here's my thing about that. Here's my thing. If that was making Harry a Horcrux, and that was the gleam of triumph or whatever... Dumbledore would not be so triumphant. I don't think so. I think it would just make Dumbledore really annoyed because now Harry's a Horcrux. He's probably going to die.
He's been a Horcrux since the beginning.
Oh, since the beginning. Okay. Well, that's different. But I'm still confused about the whole thing.
You know, it's interesting talking about that whole resurrection process. And a theory I'd forgot for a while that I kind of liked was that the big procedure we saw in the graveyard was, you know, like an accompanying... ritual to having a Horcrux, and that is how you know if you have a Horcrux and you want to come back, you need to do this whole cauldron ritual hand chopped off thing.
In the Horcrux handbook?
Well,
you know,
it's probably in the same place you'd learn how to do a Horcrux. This is how you actually make use of it.
Oh, but that's the thing. I mean, somebody would have had to write that and like
Not necessarily. We can, you hear about it the same way you'd hear about how to make a Horcrux.
But we never
it's not
heard
any more
that.
Complicated.
And we never heard how they put the Horcruxes back into you. Where are you?
I'm just you know, figuring out. It's like,
well, he built a body for himself.
If it's not related, it seems, you know, we got two completely different things. I don't think it's two completely different things. If he's got Horcruxes to come back to life, and he's got this huge cauldron potion thingy to come back to life.
Here's
how are they not related to each other?
Here's my question with that. Whatever a body was created around in book 4 was a Horcrux. That's a piece of soul. I mean, it was the central. It was the piece of him that's in him. The other stuff, you know, it's not a Horcrux because it's not an object, but it was just a piece of soul, right? So if he did this spell 6 times, would there be 6 Voldemorts running around?
Possible.
Seriously, you can get that piece of soul out, and then you create, you know? And she has said, like, what would have happened in book 2? Somebody asked, what would have happened if in book 2 Voldemort was allowed to rise out of the book? And she said that would have affected the story in many significant ways, or something that I can't reveal because of, you know, whatever. So, seriously, there could have been more than one Voldemort running around. So what if...
Oh, sorry, Carrie.
What if something happens? Yeah. What if something happens in what's the book called? Deathly Hallows.
Sure.
That creates another Voldemort.
Yeah. I think it's probably...
Sorry, our Voldemort isn't another Horcrux.
That could be possible, but I don't think Voldemort would find that worth it, because
I don't think it's going to happen.
You wouldn't want a bunch of Voldemorts running around. You know, because then
like the 7 dwarves.
You want to
save
Voldemort. Them and use them.
You know, sleepy, grumpy, happy.
Yeah.
Murdery.
Murdery.
Crucio. It's going to name after... Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Hot out there.
I'm of the Horcruxes equal, like, one-up lives. Like in Mario, you got your little green mushroom Horcruxes, and you have to use them up like your extra lives and things. So I don't think you'd want to use all your extra lives at one time. You'd want to spread them all out and stuff. But
that's a good way to kill a Horcrux. Have it be created as a soul and then blast it, you know?
You get the big Mario hammer. No.
Okay.
Okay,
who's next?
Here.
Our Borders lady has a question.
Borders lady likes to talk about Harry Potter. Of course they do.
She has cool shoes on.
Okay.
Oh,
don't
God.
Do that. Sorry. Okay.
Is that you?
Him.
I think it's
Sue. Okay, yesterday down in Tucson, we didn't really get on the topic of two things.
Okay.
One of them was... Joe mentions in a couple interviews that Harry has his mom's eyes, and that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to know what you guys thought of that. And that Peter Pettigrew owes Harry a favor. What is it?
A life debt.
Life debt.
Oh,
and I wanted to get your opinions on that, because we talked about the Horcruxes a lot yesterday, but we didn't talk about that.
Oh, boy.
Harry's eyes and the fact that they look like Lily's eyes. Lots of people thought for a while that there was going to be some sort of eye magic. You know, like your
lightning
spells
bolt.
Are influenced by the colors of your eyes. And, you know, as cool as that would be, I think that by book 6, somebody would have said, hey, you have those cool green eyes. Have you tried doing that cool spell with your eyes yet? You'd be like, no, what are you talking about? But I'm thinking that from all this time, from when I first thought about it till now, what I'm going with is that the reason they keep saying that he has his mother's eyes is just to reinforce the similarities between Lily and Harry, and that Lily was such a compassionate person and somebody who was so, you know, accepting of, you know, everybody and, you know, somebody who was, you know, just an overall good person. And it's those kind of qualities, that compassion, that Harry will be able to use in his ways to defeat Voldemort is with that compassion, with his mother's compassion.
Love.
Because they're similar people.
It's love.
It is.
I'm sorry, but like I just identify with Harry when in book six, like Dumbledore says, oh yeah, you know, he's explaining to him all the things that have protected him, and Harry goes, yeah, I know, I can love, okay, like whatever, you know? And Dumbledore's like, well, actually, yes, this is exactly why. But my thing with that is that it's basically saying, like, she's kept saying, oh, your eyes, they're just like your mom's, your eyes are just like your mom, and then the big secret is that you resemble your mother. But it's just been said too much. There has to be something, some further twist of the mystery other than, hey, you have some of your mother's qualities. That's not a...
I don't know if it's even a mystery. Why does it have to be a mystery?
Because she said that it's very important, you know?
Yeah.
She, when asked that question, if it was just that, oh, well, Harry's very like, she would have said something like, well, Harry's very like his mother, and you'll see why that's important later.
Yeah.
She just kept saying that it's important. You know what I mean? And so for her, I just feel like that's a too often dropped hint. It's the thing that's been repeated the most in all the books, right? You have your mother's eyes, you have your mother's eyes, you have your mother's eyes.
Yeah, but I still think that goes back to her ability to be accepting of others, and that's what Harry's going to have to do at the end. I think it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be his ability of compassion and his choices.
But again, that's not because of it. That's not because of his or his mother's eyes. That's just who he is.
Well,
that changes nothing.
Well, I think also, though, that's a common how we say, oh, you look like your mom, or, you know, it's just kind of like,
But that's the difference between real life and storytelling. Everybody, you know, in real life, if you look like your mom, everybody and your mother says, hey, you look like your mom. In a book, if it's not a plot point, don't repeat it that much. And J.K. Rowling knows that. You know, you know how masterful she is at dropping hints.
What if maybe the color of your eyes represents certain, you know, is like an embodiment of like some kind of other characteristics you have? And if, say, like how much your capacity to love is the greener your eyes are or something. Because Snape, what color are Snape's eyes? Anybody?
Black. Dark.
Black.
Glittering.
Which I would have to imagine would be a polar opposite of something
but
bright
so are Hagrid.
And colorful and green.
So are Hagrid's.
Well, Hagrid's a jerk. I don't know.
That
I'm kidding. He's not a jerk.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be eye magic, but there's just something that's not like, oh, by the way, you resemble your mother. Big surprise, you know?
Yeah.
Don't think, though, that means that even though they talk about how his striking resemblance to James, you don't think there's going to be a plot twist in that Harry's not James's son, right?
But they don't say that as often. They don't say as often, you look so much like your father. It's mentioned only in association for somebody to get to the point where they say, but you have your mother's eyes. You look like your father, but you have your mother's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a point when Harry says, I know, I have my mother's eyes. You know?
Yeah. Well, Slughorn.
Well, okay. And this is how it came up in book 6, is when Harry's mother's eyes reminded, it might be an effect on another person. Harry was able to convince somebody to do something that was hard for him because
right.
his eyes reminded him of Lily, and Lily was such a great person and
right.
everything. And that, I mean, I think that's possible. The other theory is that Snape was in love with Lily. Secret Garden all over again, and you know, and that when he looks at Harry, that's where the revulsion comes in because he sees her in Harry, and he's just so revulsed. And it might
repulsed by Lily or
by the memory of Lily and what happened that time.
Did she like really hurt his feelings or something?
It's a lot more than hurt his feelings.
Well, the theory that I've heard, it's not particularly my theory or anything, but that Snape made a deal with the Dark Lord that. The Dark Lord, Voldemort, that he would leave Lily and kill James because he hated James
right.
and loved Lily and whatever. And then Voldemort went back on that, reneged, and he, like, when he saw that Lily had died, he realized, you know, what he'd done and
well,
became...
Well, what position was Snape
went
to make
for the good
deal?
Side.
He
was the one who brought the information
good.
To Voldemort.
I thought it was Wormtail who betrayed
no.
the Potters.
No. Well, no. He brought the information for the prophecy. Wormtail betrayed where they actually were. But, what's his name? Snape.
yeah.
Brought the information. And then once Snape heard or knew or whatever that Voldemort knew where the Potters were and were going to get them, you know. But Snape claims that he didn't, or Dumbledore claims that Snape didn't know that it had to do with the Potters at all.
Right.
So maybe that
was I thought that a very similar theory, but it was Wormtail who was like, you know, oh my gosh, I don't really want to do this, but, you know, I really hate, you know, James right now, but Lily's pretty cool, so... You know, I'll give you this information, but don't touch Lily. And you know, they're able to make some kind of wizard agreement, even. Who knows? But because like you have to willfully give that information for a secret keeper. It wasn't something that Voldemort could have just taken from.
Right. Well, that'd be pretty significant for Voldemort to even give her a chance to say step aside. I mean, I found that very dramatic,
yeah.
very significant that he gave her a chance when he's just
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
you know.
But again, if he'd made a deal with somebody, he also was pretty weak on it. Like
yeah.
yes, I'll leave Lily for it, and then oh, Lily, step aside. No, okay.
Well, maybe
you know?
Like I'll give her a chance
right.
to get out of here. I mean,
we'll strike a bargain.
Yeah.
So let's make a deal.
Pretty much. But
and what was the other thing?
The other one was a life debt with Wormtail, back to Wormtail again. Is Joe says that the only character who is not redeemable by Deathly Hallows was Voldemort, then that leaves us with characters like Wormtail to have one more book to decide what kind of person they're going to end up being for all history here. So
all history, all time.
Will Wormtail do something, whether it's just him coming around or him repaying his wizard debt?
Who thinks Wormtail's going to sacrifice himself for Harry? Who thinks he's going to repay the debt in some other way?
Yeah,
we need some
that.
Noise because...
Oh, yeah. Those were hands. We're back in London again.
I know, in London. It was so cute. In London, everybody's sort of reserved, and they didn't get that, like, in America, we're sort of loud. And whenever we'd ask them, they'd be like... you know, they raise their hands slowly. So if you think that Wormtail will sacrifice himself for Harry... Repay the debt in some other way. Wow, you're really excited about that. Do you have a theory?
No.
Oh, well, come on. Yeah. Who thinks they know how Wormtail will do this?
Come on down.
Oh, cool. Oh, no. Here we go. I like your shirt.
Just speak loud because this is my...
Okay, I think that he'll actually come into the book at the very beginning in Deathly Hallows. And he will be the one who explains the whole RAB thing and lead Harry on his path because he was connected to Sirius and the Dark Lord. Therefore, he would be in the position the most to explain, like, RAB and how he would know and where to find the locket farther from there.
So he's going
to
show up and be like, hey, Harry, need some info?
No, I think it's going to be... I think they're going to cross paths in a...
Sorry.
Oh, and Dark Hallows, yes.
I'm sorry.
I think and then they'll meet there when he'll meet Harry when he knows that Harry's there and he'll be in a
rocking chair in Godric's Hollow and Harry finds him.
I always thought that he'd be grieving like at the Potter's grave and Harry would stumble upon him.
And kick him. Literally stumble upon him. Yeah, I'm down with that theory. If it includes hurting Pettigrew,
I'm
down.
I'm not too sore on Wormtail. I think that guy was so, just so frightened out of his mind. He's just a very, very weak person.
Plenty of people
and
are frightened and weak.
He came to Voldemort out of fear, not loyalty to his cause or to his person. This guy's just a weak person.
Got no sympathy. He came out of fear. The whole wizarding world is frightened out of their minds. They don't go to Voldemort. That makes them bad people. That's why they're bad people.
I think you can certainly make some bad choices.
Yes.
And your choices are what make you
who
you are.
Who you
he
are,
can,
exactly.
He can redeem himself by some other choices. And, I don't know.
He'll find his inner Gryffindor. He'll find him.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We hear that he's a Gryffindor, right?
Yeah.
We hear, we think, we know.
She said it. She confirmed it.
Yeah, he's a Gryffindor.
I mean, there has to be some reason why, if we're talking about this person, everybody in the whole wizarding world was afraid, yet this guy was the one that would go to Voldemort. It doesn't sound like something that would be a Gryffindor to be that one person. So there must be a little more to this story for Mr. Wormtail.
Well, yeah.
We haven't read about him in a long time.
Just random. What happened to Wormtail? Oh, he just... I was done with him.
Yeah,
that's what she'll say. I didn't really want to write him.
By the way, where's Wormtail?
By the way. All right, we have time for the best theory ever.
Turn into an armadillo.
Nobody has the best theory ever. Come on.
Okay.
Sure, come up. Nice time turner. It's a long chain for a time turner.
Cool.
Nice.
You can put it around Harry's neck.
Nice thing, too. She's a Hufflepuff? Is that a Hogwarts thing or a Hufflepuff thing? Hogwarts, okay. We saw. She also thinks Harry died, but I don't like her anymore.
Do you think one of the trio is going to die, and how would it affect the other two?
No.
If one of them died, they would be very, very sad
parents,
but...
Not the party.
The trio shall be the trio forevermore, except when there's multiple more of them from all of their children.
They're not going to die. She actually, J.K. Rowling went to the Naperville, where we're going to be for the release, Naperville in Chicago, in Illinois. There's a great store there called Anderson's, and they asked her back in like 1998 or 1999. She's been there a few times. Lucky them. And somebody raised their hands and said, will the trio live? And she said, yes. All the way back in 1998, 1999,
yeah.
You know, she could have changed her mind by then, but that's a pretty big... It was right before she knew just how big it was going to get and just how important it was not to answer those questions. So we're totally calling her out on it now. Sorry, Joe.
Yeah.
But, so we hope that she hasn't changed her mind. But
Ron and Hermione could be the two characters that she decided to kill.
Well, then they'll go to heaven married or whatever. They'll, as long as they go together, it's fine.
Hand in hand.
That's like when somebody says one of, like, Fred or George will die, like, one of the two. How do you even think that?
Actually, what if they're, like, in, like, the final battlefield or something, and they're just kind of, like, you know, hanging out, and they decide, oh, Hermione, I've been meaning to tell you that I've loved you this whole time. And Hermione's like, oh, that's so sweet, because, you know, I've loved you the whole time, too. And they're like, oh, really? Really? And then, like, you got Malfoy come out of there and he's like, whatever, and, like, Ron falls dead. That would be crazy.
I'm sorry, I have to be away from John right now.
No.
No, it's not going to be.
Spend the rest of the podcast over here.
Oh.
He's going to be riding on the luggage racks in the car.
I don't know. It'd be tragic. It'd be tragic.
Well, for you to ride on the luggage racks, it's going to be pretty funny.
No, for poor Ron and Hermione.
Die.
Ron and Hermione are going to die, right, Sue?
Right. I mean, she even said, come on, Anvil hint. Wham.
Anvil.
Anvil that they're going to be in love.
Well, sure they are. And that doesn't mean they're going to just, you know, finally say, oh, here you are. We're finally going to, you know, after 7 books, finally let you together for just like one split second and bam, you're dead.
Yes.
You know, no
he's
way.
He's so unexpected, though.
No, she's not going to do that.
Not anymore. You just said it, so therefore, it's gone.
She's probably cursing my name because I just blew it.
Yeah.
I always do that to her. I feel terrible.
No, forever. Just like Harry and Ginny are going to have a lot of babies. And then a lot of babies. And then some more babies.
What is with you and the babies?
I just want them to be happy. Yeah. And in my, you know, family, Italian, whatever, babies and domestic whatever is, like, equal to happiness. I know a lot of cultures are the same way. So.
Anyhow.
Anybody got a last thing they really want to get out there before we say sayonara?
Oh, we got one over here.
Okay, I don't know if this was mentioned before in any other show because I just started listening a couple months ago, but we already know that Dumbledore knew the Defense Against the Dark Arts class was cursed, and yet he put Snape in it. Did he want to get rid of Snape? And if so, why not just fire him?
Provocative.
Ooh. A test.
When about did Snape get...
They couldn't find anybody, right? They talk in number 2 about how it's really getting really hard to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have... who's Umbridge? I mean, come on, Umbridge. And then in 4 you have the fake Mad-Eye. And
theory is this, that he needed to put Snape in there because he needed to bring Slughorn back. Slughorn was essential to come back and teach potions, so he had to get Snape out of there somehow because Slughorn had the possession of the memory... for the thing.
Well,
I think that's why he did it.
The curse wasn't, you know, that you're going to get fired from Hogwarts or you're going to die or anything.
No,
so you're not going to have the spot after that. So Snape could go in there, theoretically could have went back to potions the following year, and that would have not have been any kind of disruption for anything.
Well, the other thing is that it might have also been another show to Voldemort that Snape was getting tighter and tighter with Voldemort.
Sure.
It might have gotten him to the next level. I mean, Snape was with Dumbledore. That, you know, he said, oh, well, look, he didn't used to trust me for the Defense Against the Dark Arts position, but now he does. Ha-ha, I'm in. You know? And that may be what led, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, because it really had to, because there's more and more pressure on Snape to look. Yeah.
Especially, you know, as they get... But then the thing is, Snape was the best Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher they had, except for Remus. You know?
Sure.
Which sort of sucks, because then he ends up killing the headmaster. And... sort of invalidates everything he taught them over the, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bogus.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much. It's been so much fun. Phoenix is so, so hot. If we ever come back,
yeah.
It's going to be...
winter over here, or...
January.
At least below 100, it would be my target.
It's like 40 in January? I'm coming here in January.
It'd be nice 70? In January.
Oh, January is nice. Wow. Brooklyn, in Brooklyn, it's like negative... 60 or something.
Wow.
Not that cold, but you know what I mean. It feels like it compared to here.
Day after tomorrow. And there you go. I think that's
reserve
it.
Reserve your Deathly Hallows. And thank you guys so much, and hopefully we'll be back one day. Thank you.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.